We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend to both of us. And it is with joy that we present you Brad. And that is on the guest hotline, brought to us by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
We've been talking about the usage of Justin Fields and what Matt Nagy was saying or not saying or presumably hiding during his little finally he got a chance to talk yesterday. I don't know that he answered any questions. I don't know that he specified exactly what how they will use Justin Fields. But we're curious if you believe there will be a logical progression to his usage. In other words, five plays in the first game, maybe a couple plays consecutively in the next game, maybe even a series or two. I believe the afternoon show got Bet Rivers to give him an over-under of 11.5 plays. You going over, you going under? How do you use Justin Fields in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I only expect his opportunity and usage to expand. Now, is that going to be, if you were to graph it for your math class at the end of the season, is that line going to consistently be climbing? I don't know that it'll be perfect for your graph paper and your math class assignment, but more weeks than not, yeah, I would imagine it goes up. The Cincinnati Bengals have a lot of experience in the AFC playing quarterbacks with skill sets not too different than what Justin Fields possesses, and they have the damnedest time stopping Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So if the Bears have considered that as part of their thinking in crafting the game plan for Sunday, maybe there's an opportunity for Justin Fields to go over, but you're talking about him more than doubling the play time that he had in the opener out in Los Angeles.
All right, Brad, let's talk defense for a moment. Yesterday, Eddie Goldman doesn't practice. Both Molly and I agree. That's probably not a good sign. Based on the fact he did go on Wednesday, did not go on Thursday, his availability for Sunday seems to be in doubt. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it's a question mark. You know, Matt Nagy says he's arrow up before practice starts. Matt was referring to Eddie and Jason Peters, but of the two of them, he said it looked like it was arrow up. I don't know that we've seen many good signs from Eddie Goldman. Since he returned in great shape, and Matt has told us, I think, a couple times that same old Eddie rocking and rolling. I wasn't convinced that Eddie's heart was in it from the get-go. I don't know now, and I could be wrong on that, but yeah, with that knee injury, being a limited participant in practice Wednesday, sitting out practice on Thursday, hard to say where it's going to go today. And they need him because Joe Mixon is the league's leading rusher, just a little bit ahead of the number two rusher in the league right now, David Montgomery.
Do you expect the Bears to open up the offense a little bit? In other words, go downfield, show off the speed of their receiving core, or is it simply a question of having to deal with kind of a compromised offensive line?
No, I think they will. I think they plan to, and I think they realize they have to stretch the field a little bit. The Minnesota Vikings in an overtime game had five completions of 20 yards or more against that Cincinnati secondary last week. So I would expect to see them try to get vertical a little bit, if for nothing else to keep the defense honest. Otherwise, you're going to start to see stacked boxes against David Montgomery. You'll have opponents pressing the wide receivers because there's little fear of the Bears trying to take the top off the defense. So, yes, we will see that, and I would expect to see it early in the first quarter.
All right, Brad, we both know what we're going to see on Sunday and here, maybe, because this is, to many people, Bears fans, a single-issue season. Let's see what Justin Fields has to offer. Andy Dalton has to operate under these circumstances. He'll probably hear Justin Fields' chant. He may get booed on his first three and out if that happens. What is realistic in your mind to expect from Andy Dalton on Sunday against his former team?
Well, you'd like to see him lead a slightly more explosive offense, right? He was quick getting rid of the ball against the Rams. He was, by most accounts, accurate against the Rams, knew where the ball needed to go, didn't look confused. So, you know, I'd expect a professional effort. Dalton's the kind of guy that when the pieces around him are right and the defense plays well, you can win with him. I thought that when they brought him in. I still believe that now. So if they perform well around him, they're going to have an opportunity to even the record at 1-1.
Did you make your pick? You want to give us your pick now as long as we're on it?
Yeah, you know, this is a really interesting game for the Bears, I think, for a couple standpoints. One, look at the schedule between now and the week before they head to Detroit for Thanksgiving. It is unrelenting, guys. I mean, that is a very difficult schedule. They've got the Lions coming in here the first Sunday in October in week four, but there are some really difficult opponents. So when you look at that and consider it, I think you realize they've really got to get a win here to try to get a little momentum going, to change the tenor of things a little bit. At House Hall after one got away from them last Sunday. So you're never going to hear me call a week two game must win because that would just be silly season. But they need to find a way to go out and get this Cincinnati team. And you look at the Bengals and how they're constructed, and I think you're impressed by the skill position talent they have around Joe Burrow. You know, they had an interesting decision to make. They're high in round one this year. Do they go out and they get some help to protect the quarterback who got beat up last year and had his knee blown out with a guy like Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon, or do they supplement what they had in terms of wide receivers and get his former teammate from LSU, Ja'Marr Chase? And obviously we know they went with Ja'Marr Chase, and he had a rocky preseason with a lot of dropped passes. But he looked good in the opener. I think the offensive line's a little bit better for Cincinnati, but that is a group that they're still going to need to work on moving forward. Joe Burrow sacked five times last week by the Vikings, who totaled, I believe, seven quarterback hits on him. And when you looked at what the Bengals and Zach Taylor, the coach, had to say coming out of the game, I think they were pinning two of those five sacks, I believe, on the offensive line, so maybe some plays where Burrow should have got the ball out quicker. So you say, well, the Bears should have an advantage rushing the passer, right? Well, guys, I think that's a pitfall that we've encountered too many times over the last two seasons where the Bears have geared up to play an opponent, and you figured, yeah, advantage Bears with these guys that can get after the quarterback against Team X's offensive line. And how often have you gotten to Monday morning, you're like, well, where was the pass rush, right? Certainly that was the case against the Rams a week ago. So I think you got to be cautiously optimistic that Khalil Mack and those guys can get after Joe Burrow. All that being said, I think they find a way to sneak one out here at Soldier Field on Sunday. I don't have a lot of confidence in it, guys, but I picked Bears 24, Bengals 23.
Ooh, that's a close one. We all have a Bears victory, and it's all pretty close, Brad. That's a good pick and well-supported. Look, big picture-wise, I think that when you talk about the Justin Fields issue and when to play him, and even all you said about Dalton being true, the external pressure exists. There's the fans and media, asking about it, for paying attention to it. I'm curious, this week, and again, it's easy to make these assumptions when you're outside and not there every day, like you are. It seems like there might be some pressure building from within. Maybe some, I don't want to say confusion, but do you sense anything happening internally where the pressure might be building to play Justin Fields sooner rather than later, and maybe sooner than maybe they originally planned?
I don't know that I'd go there because it's only been one Sunday, right? And it's not like, while they 14 points is unacceptable, it's not like Dalton went out there and was a turnover machine and looked confused, right? So no, I would say I don't necessarily buy into that. You know, we got a small snapshot of Fields. He had a touchdown run from 3 yards out. The degree of difficulty on that play wasn't too high, I didn't think. And the other stuff we saw was like, okay. So, no, I don't know that that's the case. But Dave, if they get to 0-2 after playing the Bengals, things could get really noisy. And I think what people have to understand is while most people are viewing this season strictly – in terms of success or lack of success by the development of the quarterback, I think the coach and his staff feel like that is a super high priority, as well as trying to win some football games. And so they're trying to balance that out how they might right now. And they're in a position right now where if Justin makes a mistake out there against the Rams or against the Bengals, I don't know that you're going to hear them talk about it. Certainly, they don't want to dampen any of the excitement for Justin Fields or be critical of him. But things like that could be happening where they're like, okay, you know, hey, we got to work on this without publicly coming out and saying, yeah, you know, we got these two things that went really well and these two things we need some work on.
Tyler Boyd's pretty consistent player for the Bengals. Good kind of guy to attack a nickel. Who's going to be the nickel? Who's going to start in the secondary? Do you expect them to be able to clean up some of the issues that we saw against the Rams?
Well, you'd hope so. Who's going to be the nickel? You know, Matt was asked about that yesterday, and he talked about the competition that they have at that nickel position. So he kind of led us back to the conversation we've had, guys, where when you've got two nickels, you might not have a slot cornerback, but you do have a dime. So my guess here is that Duke Shelley gets his opportunity. They take a look at him. You know, he's the guy that it was set up to win this thing all along. He's the guy that replaced Buster Skrine last season when the concussion knocked Buster out. He's the guy that was kind of first up throughout the offseason program. They didn't approach Marquis Christian about potentially playing the nickel until June when the offseason, the voluntary offseason program was wrapping up. So a bit of a disappointment that Duke wasn't able to take that job and run with it before the start of the season. Marquis Christian had a very challenging situation a week ago against Cooper Kupp, one of the better slot receivers in the league, and we know that didn't go real well for the Bears, and all of Kupp's yardage, certainly not on Marquis Christian, but you probably try the other guy out to see what happens. So just guessing it would be Duke Shelley, but if that's the case, I'd expect Marquis Christian to be active simply because he's a proven a special teams player, a really good one earlier in his career for the Rams.
Brad, the Bears haven't done this typically or traditionally, but Sean Desai's been here all of one game. Do you envision them having Jalen Johnson stay with a guy like Ja'Marr Chase because of, you know, he looked like this year's version of Justin Jefferson? It's only 1 week, small sample size, but if you have a premier explosive wide receiver, and you have one corner you truly have reason to trust, would you flip-flop? Would you have him follow him on both sides?
Boy, the Bears, that's something that they rarely did when Vic Fangio was the coordinator. So if Sean's drawing a lot of what he does from Vic, I would tend to think that's not an option for them. You're still talking about a really young cornerback in Jalen Johnson, a guy who's got 14 NFL starts now. I mean, Jamar Chase, I think he certainly looks like he could be the real deal. He's one game in. So I would be surprised if that happened on Sunday.
What do you think is the key to this game? I mean, is it protection? Is it figuring out the secondary? We know what the big issues were going into the season, and they all came to the forefront. What's the big issue in this game?
Well, for as much as they talked about that blue takeaway bucket, maybe they should break that thing out on Sunday in front of a full house at Soldier Field. So I think having an advantage in terms of turnovers is going to be paramount to them. And then they have to be more – they have to find a way to be explosive on offense. It's just too difficult. They've got too many questions on the line. To ask them to go 70, 75, 80 yards at 4, 5, 6 yards a clip. They've got to come up with either premium field position through takeaways or getting some chunk plays. You know, a 25-yard play here, maybe some 35-yard completion on a screen with a broken tackle or two. They've got to be able to flip the field for that offense. And then they've got to be assignment sound in the secondary. They absolutely cannot have another game where you're looking at it and you're saying, well, I know one of these three or four guys really screwed up because someone wasn't covered in the secondary. That is completely inexcusable. It's not like these players have been asked to learn a new scheme or anything like that. So they have got to be much more buttoned up against the Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Great stuff, Big Z, as always. Thank you, buddy. Enjoy
Thanks,
the weekend. Enjoy the game.
See you Sunday.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. You're going to go to the game.
Yes.
I'm going to be broadcasting here.
All right.
I'll be doing the pregame with Olin Krutz. We start at 9 a.m. Patrick Manley will be on Woo-hoo. The pregame with Olin. Those guys do a great job breaking down the game, and I'll be directing traffic a little bit and just enjoying the show as much
as ever. Football Sunday. I will be listening. Yeah. I'll be getting ready. I'll be glad to be back in the Soldier Field press box.
Yes, and I'll be drinking stiff coffee and learning from Olin and Patrick. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
As you mentioned, he does multiple things well. How much value does he have, I guess, as a chess piece within your game planning?
Yeah, I think he provides a lot of value now that we're here at this point and we're not in training camp and the guessing game or whatever. And inevitably what it does is it makes when you have a guy like Justin, teams, when they see that, now they got to prepare in certain ways for certain things they may think of or not think of. So it just can help us that way too.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
Queen's Gambit.
Oh, is that what the music is? Is that from Queen's Gambit? I
have
not.
Did you see what we do
value
here?
Value does he have, I guess, as a chess piece.
Yeah.
Connect all the dots.
I haven't seen the Queen's Gambit.
Could not recommend it higher.
I am really bummed that I haven't seen it. It's
Very
been
well
recommended
done.
To me by multiple people.
Very
it's
well
just,
done.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. And I mean this sincerely. people recommend things to you, and that then it becomes almost like a homework assignment. Like, oh God, I got to watch this thing now. And how many episodes are there? There's got to be 8 to 10 episodes. It's not like, hey, you would enjoy this. Why don't you watch it on TikTok and it's over? It's like, why don't you take 10 hours of your life and devote it to, I don't know.
It's just hard. You will thank me.
Okay, I'll do it. I will take that assignment and I'll look forward to it.
I think your wife would definitely enjoy it. You have like older children.
I do.
Meaning like that don't watch like Disney anymore. I think
Disney. So let's get that straight.
Well, I mean like you're not watching like.
No, we're watching like Loki and. Yeah.
Disney Plus, but you're not watching Cinderella.
I watched the Amazon Cinderella over the weekend. How about that? Absolutely awful. Okay.
I don't want to spend a lot of time. Wow. To my point,
you just
and
freed
David's
up my
point,
Saturday night.
Take that time and get it back with Queen's Gambit.
I gotta tell you, that's good. This was comically bad. What's the girl's name? Camilla Cabello, whatever. Awful. Just a really
This is
bad
seven
version.
Episodes. It's worth it. It's definitely
seven. So it's 7 hours.
Yeah. It's all good right. though.
I mean, that's just think of it as it's not quite a work day. I mean, it.
I know, but it's.
But you don't have to watch it all at once, guys. You don't
but
have to
but
binge
honestly,
it.
But honestly, because you can,
how
you
else
should.
Do you watch
no,
stuff?
No, you don't have
you gotta
to.
Binge
you don't
it.
Have to, but because
14.
You can, you
Listen,
should.
I need 2 weeks off to watch like 700 hours of television. Every outlet has got some series. Everybody's got. It's just overwhelming, man. And I mean, unfortunately, oh, man. I get it. Netflix got everyone through
yes.
lockdown and all
yes,
that.
Yes, they did.
But it's become this horrible. Oh, you haven't seen that? Like it's. You know, I ended up going
Shaming
back
you.
And watching Game of Thrones like 2 years after Game of Thrones ended.
Still haven't seen it.
I just finished it like a month ago.
And it's phenomenal.
I mean, David, that's worth the 30 hours of your life, okay?
Yeah, that's a
that's
great
like
one.
30 or 40 hours.
And I really enjoyed it. But
yeah,
it was also.
Better.
The books, my brother has read the books. It takes like 6 days.
The books are crazy long, and they're much more complex than the
time.
Show.
Is he still writing them, or is he done?
Yeah,
with
he'll,
them?
You know, I have.
Is he
I'm
writing
losing
the books?
Faith. I don't know.
Is he writing the books to the script now? Or, I mean, have they determined,
well,
or is
the,
he going off
alleged,
on his own?
The alleged story was that he told the producers
okay. what was
how,
coming,
how, yeah. what the ultimate ending is, and then I think they kind of took their own route to the end.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean to say, like, because he hasn't written, there's supposed to be two more books, and they're obviously not out yet. So he can still change.
Listen, I'm not one to talk, and I don't want to make fun of people or anything else, but he's kind of a creepy looking guy. That's I'm just being honest.
And he's not the healthiest looking individual.
No.
So, like, there's a lot of fear that he's going
to
drop.
You're worried he's not going to make it to the end?
I'm pretty terrified of it because I need to know how this ends.
Again, I like the idea that you're reading those books, and I love the idea that people are reading. I cannot jump in on a series like that that is going to go on endlessly. It's too much for me. Books on tape, maybe? Drive to somewhere in Upper Michigan?
Yeah,
whatever.
I'll pass for now.
All right. Let's get back to football. 312-644-6767. That it was football related. It was a chess question, and we played.
Well, it was a chess piece question that Matt Nagy answered. It wasn't Matt Nagy necessarily introducing the analogy of using Justin Fields as a chess piece, as we talked about earlier. But if he were to be a chess piece, he would be the queen because he's your most powerful weapon that you have, and he can be used in a variety of ways. I think it's going to be just a matter of time before we start to see that. I'd be surprised if we see him more than, 14 plays on Sunday? That's probably going to be the conservative estimate.
Let's try John. John is in Joliet. He's waited patiently. John, I got to tell you, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Morning, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, let me say my six-year-old grandson agrees with you. Cinderella was trash, he said.
Oh, awful.
So he said, Papa, change that. That's garbage. Anyway.
He's right.
Speaking of garbage, I'll be at the game Sunday, and I'll be sitting right there, Section 154, row one, and God forbid that they go three and out on the first set of downs. I I mean, not being there for almost two years and a full house, which we anticipate will be lively. But I think Matt Nagy's going to hear it from the crowd if things aren't starting off well. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I think that's a mistake for the crowd. I don't argue with you, John. I think people are impatient and they're upset, and if things don't go well, you'll hear about it immediately. I just don't know that that's the best approach. I think that there's a lot of pressure on this team. I think they are totally under the gun. I know Biggsy doesn't want to call it a must-win, but I got to tell you, if they're going to have a season, if they're really going to do anything, you pretty much have to win this game. They go to Cleveland next, and that's a pretty good team. That's a team that's got a pass rush that's going to really hurt them if they have issues at tackle. They need to win this game, period, end of story.
That's a playoff team coming up next week. So I'm not going to tell Bears fans, though, how to react. I mean, John's right. If it's a three and out, it's going to get loud, and you're going to hear boos and then Justin Fields chants if you don't already hear them before the game. That's going to be the reality that Andy Dalton faces. That is what he walked into. Well, he didn't walk into it when he signed the contract. They didn't have Justin Fields yet. But it's going to be difficult when your own fans, you're the last person they want to see on the field.
I will tell people how to behave. Wait for the second three and out before you blow up. That's all I'm going to say.
What's the difference?
I think just give them a little quarter, just a little bit. And by a little quarter, I mean half the first quarter. How hard is that? You can do that. But it's just a bad tone to set. I think they're, you know, I'll tell you something else. That bloody defense, the worst quote I heard all week was no energy from Alec Ogletree, saying they had no energy. They weren't. I mean, what? How in the hell a veteran group is not got the energy to play an opener? Are you kidding me?
Let me ask you this. Is there anything Andy Dalton could do on Sunday that could turn the tide and to make those boos into cheers, so when he walks off the field after beating the Bengals, after playing very well, after completing maybe a touchdown pass downfield beyond 50 yards, if that happens, I know people are rolling their eyes, I'm sure, based on the text line, but if Andy Dalton can do something in a positive way to turn those boos into cheers, could it change the way you feel about the quarterback situation with the Bears?
No, I don't think he can. I do think he can turn those boos to like champagne popping by getting the ball downfield, scoring a touchdown early, getting a lead. But all that is people want the other quarterback
to
come in.
There's nothing that Andy Dalton can do in your mind.
He could play in Cincinnati, get some cheers.
Well, they like him there.
I know.
They like him there a lot more than they like him in Chicago through no fault of his own. Don't you feel some? Do you feel any empathy for Andy Dalton?
I do a little bit.
I do too.
A little bit.
I was asked that yesterday, and I thought about it, and I think that I do, because
you know why, David? Honestly, because there's nothing he can do.
That's it. It's what I just described. He could have a 300-yard passing game, and people will want to know
if Justin Fields could have had 350.
If that, and does that mean it's one more game he's going to have to play before Justin Fields starts?
Yeah, no, he's in a very difficult position. Kevin is in the western suburbs. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Love you. Love your show. First of all, I want to apologize. Yesterday, I was on hold to make a comment, and you were calling my name, but I had to take care of the kids, so I missed your call.
Well, they're more important, no worries.
So you guys hung up. So second of all, just to piggyback on yesterday and just recently your comments about the players on the Bears with no energy for opening day, before they made the pros, when they're in college, they're playing their hearts out. They had the will to win, and they want to make the NFL. So when they get here, I don't understand exactly, you know, how you play with no energy when you make it to the pros. I mean, isn't just your pride and the will to win and just to be a competitive pro athlete enough to give you a kick in the pants to compete and give you the energy? I'm just going to hang up and listen to what you guys have to say.
Well, you better hope so. I mean, the motivation's a part of it. Everything's relative. So everyone else is going to be reaching a level of intensity that you have to match. So I don't think there's any excuse not to have energy. I don't know if we're making too much of that comment, that one comment, but it was disturbing to hear. Absolutely. From a veteran who understands what he's saying and the impact of what he's saying and how it will be perceived.
I mean,
troubling. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, he's a veteran guy. Robert Quinn's a veteran guy. Mac's a veteran guy. Trevathan's not on the field, but he's a veteran guy. They're also all kind of mercenary guys, right? Big name guys were brought in, given some money. Not him so much, but I just worry about that factor.
The basically have reputation will travel, that kind of thing where you get a lot of, they don't feel the commitment.
And you don't have loyalty to whatever. And I'm not pointing fingers on that
one. What's Eddie Jackson's excuse? He was drafted, developed, and then
paid.
Okay.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joe Fortenbaugh is our man in Vegas. You can see him weeknights on The Daily Wager via the Four Letter Network. He is a special kind of human.
Oh, yeah.
And a dear friend of the program. And he joins us now on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Joe, good morning. How are you, sir?
Careful, boys. Careful in a big, big way. That is the message heading into week two. Careful. What we as humans have a tendency to do is put too much weight on the information we have come across most recently. As many of you know, that is known as recency bias. This is one of the weeks that separates the guys who know what they're doing in this business from the people who don't. Case in point, look at Thursday Night Football. All right, Washington loses in week one to the Chargers. Okay, not the end of the world. They lost their quarterback, but they're not a terrible team. The Giants look horrific against the Denver Broncos. Nobody wants to bet on the Giants. Money comes in on Washington. Washington wins the game, but the Giants cover. And let's be honest, the Giants should have covered that game. There are a lot of interesting line moves that we're going to get into this week, but this is the week that separates the adults from the kids at the playground, because there are a lot of people who are going to look strictly at what happened in week one, and as a result, they're going to bet that, and that's what's going to get you caught in this game.
Joe, I'm not doubting you at all, because you had some of my Notre Dame friends mad last week when you picked Toledo, and then look what happened. So you are beyond reproach as far as I'm concerned. If you say be cautious in week two, I'm going to be cautious in week two.
You know, I appreciate that, David. Your friends obviously could use some more time listening to this very segment. And, you know, in the future, I'm sure they will. That, you know what? That was a situational spot. And we talked about this before. We've been talking about it for years. Sometimes you want to play the spot. There's one NFL game we're going to get to in a little bit. It's all about the spot this week. It's one of my favorite bets on the board. It's because of the spot. And for Notre Dame, they were coming off that tough game against Florida State. Same thing happened to Florida State.
Yep.
They lost to Jacksonville State. You're off that emotional game, short week, bad spot. It's not one of my favorite picks this week, but to be honest with you, I'd be a little cautious with Notre Dame again. I haven't really made a big bet on it. I'm sitting back. I'm waiting. Purdue's catching 7.5. Purdue has covered 5 of the last 6 in this rivalry at South Bend, and there's a huge game against Wisconsin at Soldier Field on deck for Notre Dame, so they could be looking ahead a little bit. So for the Irish fans out there, I'd be careful. 0-2 against the spread might not cover this week as well.
The NFL was insane. What was it, 9 upsets, 9 teams that covered the spread that were not favored to win? There were tons of upsets. Do we understand who these teams are? Is it that big a jump from week one to week two? And how do you judge what you've seen in week one if it's been so below par that you're wondering if Aaron Rodgers actually did retire?
So box scores. Box scores are going to be key, and this is something that if you want to get into this and you want to be able to improve upon your sports betting, you got to go through box scores, and you got to see the games that tell the real story, right? Like one of the games that stood out to me, and we'll get to this in a little bit. We can talk about the Bears getting ready to go up against Cincinnati. It's this showdown Cincinnati had with Minnesota last week. You know, Minnesota loses that game, but when you go through the box score and you look at some of the key figures, total yardage, yards per play, things like that, you're thinking to yourself, how did Minnesota lose this game? And then you realize, you know, there was the big turnover late, number one. Yep. There were too many penalties. Yep. You know, things like that stand out. You get those every week. One of the games that I lost last week when I came on here, I really like Utah at BYU. And you go through that box score, and Utah was just a mess in that game. Like, I never had a chance. That was a loser from the start. BYU played great. So you don't want to put too much weight on it. I'll throw a game at you. I don't plan on betting this yet, but there are a handful of games this week that have seen crazy line movements because of these overreactions. Denver was a 3-point favorite at Jacksonville. They're now a 6-point favorite. Be careful there. Everyone's down on the Jaguars because of what they saw in week one. All right, I can't blame them. Arizona was a 4-point favorite over Minnesota. That's down to 3.5. Everyone's down on Minnesota. Be careful there. The Rams were a 4-point favorite at Indianapolis. That's down to 3.5. Tell me why that's down to 3.5. The Rams look fantastic on Sunday Night Football. The Colts look like garbage against Seattle. And yet the Lions coming down. Big indicator. And the same thing with the Bears. The Bears were a 3-point favorite for this game against Cincinnati. That one's actually dropped to 2.5. And Cincinnati won and the Bears lost. And that kind of stands out to me as well, coming off the key number of 3. Is this more pro-Cincinnati because they did look decent in that game against Minnesota, or is this anti-Bears? Because I know the Bears lost that game, but offensively, I think we have to try to find a way to separate the anger over the quarterback decision versus how they played on offense. There was the mistake by Dalton down in the end zone early in the game, which cost the team points, and there were some other mistakes along the way. I didn't think the Bears were that terrible on offense. I think they're being graded as being terrible on offense. I don't think it was as terrible. That's why there's so much intrigue in that game against Cincinnati.
All right, Joe, let's get to the picks.
All right, let's start with college football, 5 games to keep an eye on. No particular order. Number one, I'll take the point 6.5 with Michigan State against Miami. Miami has not been good. They got blown out by Alabama in week one. No surprise there. That's okay. That'll happen. But then in week two, they host Appalachian State, and they need to kick a field goal with 2 minutes to go to survive the game, and they don't end up covering. I mean, they've been terrible. There's more talk about a cat that was dangling from a wire in that game than there was from what the Hurricanes did. Meanwhile, Mel Tucker has done a very nice job with Michigan State. They are quietly handling their business week in and week out. Now that he's had a full offseason with the team, take the points with Sparty. Don't be surprised if they win it outright. Alabama, Florida, over 59.5. Probably my favorite college play. Alabama's going to get theirs. Florida's defense has been okay, but they played South Florida and Florida Atlantic. Bryce Young completing 70% of his passes so far. Bama should be able to score. Florida likes to play an up-tempo offense, which is fantastic for overs. They're either flying down the field or they're giving it back to Alabama very quickly. And then in addition to that, this kid Anthony Richardson, the quarterback at Florida, the backup, who's been getting a lot of time, freak athlete, can move the sticks with his legs. Over 59.5, Florida, Alabama. Utah minus 8.5. I'm going back to the well. I think it's a buy low spot at San Diego State. We had Utah last week against BYU. They fall flat on their face. They're going to go to San Diego State and take on an Aztecs team that's 2-0. Right? But the Aztecs, that's an inflated 2-0. They beat New Mexico State and they beat Arizona. Two awful teams. Huge bounce back for Kyle Whittingham. Last 5 years in the regular season, Utah is 11-3 against the spread, coming off a loss. Auburn, Penn State, the whiteout game. I'm playing under 53 in this game. All right, Auburn's averaging 61 points per game, but they play nobody. They play Akron. They play Alabama State. Bo Nix, the quarterback at Auburn, on the road versus at home, very different stories. He's been terrible on the road. Penn State can play some defense, under 53. And then I'm going to lay 3.5 with Arizona State at BYU. I think it's a flat spot for the Cougars. They beat Utah last week in the Holy War for the first time since 2009. I know they can't really party there, but I still think mentally it's going to be tough to get into the game plan for this week. Great Arizona State defense coming to town. So 5 college plays. Michigan State plus 6.5. Bama, Florida, over 59.5. Utah, minus 8.5 at San Diego State. Auburn, Penn State, under 53. Arizona State, minus 3.5 at BYU.
All right, Joe, we're short on time, but what do you have for Bears-Bengals?
Carolina, I'll start with with the four I like. Carolina plus 3.5 over the Saints. I think that's an over. It's an over adjustment based on what we saw from New Orleans. Don't sleep on the Panthers. Take the points. Lay the 6 with the Steelers against the Raiders. This is the game I was talking about. Raiders Monday Night Football win. Lots of celebrating. Cross country travel. Early start time. Good Pittsburgh defense. Horrible spot for the Raiders. Lay the 6 with Pittsburgh. Patriots Jets under 43. Belichick versus a rookie head coach, and the Patriot offense probably will struggle a little bit against the Jet defense that looked very good last week at times against Carolina. Dallas team total. I'm betting the Cowboys to score more than 25 points against the Chargers. They've had 10 days to get ready, and their defense isn't going to be able to get any stops. For Bears Cincinnati, I'd be cautious. I like the fact that it moved off of 3. It makes me want to play the Bears because I think the Bengals were somewhat impressive against Minnesota, but now they're coming on the road. They've got problems with the offensive line. I wouldn't be surprised if this game went over the total as well.
Love it. Absolutely love it. That's great stuff, Joe. Really appreciate it. You're teaching people.
Thanks, it's Joe. Wonderful.
I haven't even had my coffee yet. How about that? I haven't even had my coffee yet.
Unbelievable.
I'm going to rapid fire that thing like Bazooka Joe. Love you guys. Go Bears. I'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, thanks, Joe. God bless. That's our guy, Joe Fortenbauer, our man in Vegas. Outstanding as always. 312-644-6767 is the number. We got the Bears, the voice of the Bears. We got
the
Jeff Jodiak.
Yeah, next.
Come on, man. Mully and Haw on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.